When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And I had it plugged in, and I was running Battlegrounds, and I was playing that song, Night Tonight Tonight, Give Me the Other, Give Me the Other. But I was singing, Give Me the Honor, Give Me the Honor in my head. I'm like, hello, welcome to Lore Boys. Another episode for you. My name is James Miller. And who else is here today?
Come on and slam. And welcome to the jam. Welcome to the Lore Boys. It's Ethan. Hi.
Hey.
It's Pete. I do not make a cameo in Band of Brothers, unlike Jibo here.
I make a cameo in Space Jam 2, Back in Action.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cameos, apparently, in that one.
If we were a Warner Brothers property, I would absolutely be okay with being like, go LeBron, save Bugs Bunny, or whatever the fuck happens in that one.
Go LeBron, save Bugs Bunny.
That's obviously what I would talk, that I would speak. I'd be one of the Martians.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Welcome to Lore Boys.
Has anyone seen the new Space Jam? No one in this call has?
No, I know.
Do they shoot off against the Monstars again? Is it the same villains? Is it Danny DeVito, the evil space boss?
I know Rick and Morty makes a cameo in it.
It's Cartoon Network is owned by Warner Brothers.
By WB?
Yep. Okay,
what are we doing? So we're doing a Space Jam episode, finally? I know.
Yeah. Space Jam. Looney Tunes would be decent. Right?
It'd be fun, yeah. Today we're talking about the Warcraft creation myth, the Titans, and the Void. So all three of those things. And we'll even talk probably about the biggest bad in Warcraft history, if you ask most folks, Sargeras.
Sargeras?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of this Warcraft game. Jamie, do you have any experience with it?
I have a lot. But before I get to that,
these days.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to see. But I'm sure I have like a year played in Classic, and it's been out for 3 years. Like, I'm sure I've spent a third of my time in game, just mostly during COVID.
Yeah, but, fair enough.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about it off air. I just beat Pathfinder Kingmaker. I just beat the main campaign. I did do like most of the side stuff, but 230 hours.
Yep,
I beat the campaign.
That's up fast. But so before I get into everything, there's some folks who requested it of our patrons. We had Honest Dawn, and then of our normal listeners, we have Big Jilm 4, Jiraxel, Johnny Hex, Coughing Cat, Chris Versus, and Dead Bonbon. I feel like there's more who have said, yeah, I want Warcraft lore, but just so you know, the way that I look up for these is I just type in Warcraft into search of Discord and mainly focus on the lore request channel. So
that's
if you want
to do as well, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to make sure you get your shout outs, make sure to post it in that lore request channel.
Every time I hear the username Coughing Cat, I always imagine the name that like that picture of the cat who's like coughing and his tongue is curled around.
Yeah.
The one that they Photoshop onto Sonic's body. And every time I see it, I am brought to tears laughing. It just for some reason tickles something in my brain that just fucking kills me.
Coughing Cat's display pic was that picture for a while. Yeah.
I think it's deliberate, I was gonna say.
Yeah. We also have some new patrons.
I didn't fucking think about it.
So, Pete, who's our new patrons?
So also someone got in right under the wire and subscribed 2 hours ago. So good on you. So we've got Odessian, who's been active in Discord. So welcome. Alex of Macedonia, which I think is Alexander the Great. Very cool. KB Summers, which sounds like an author. Fantastic. And Josh, I don't know if this is Josh Nutt or Knut, but it's K-N-U-T-T. And he subbed 2 hours ago, so you got right in the wire there.
Welcome.
Josh Nutt, bro.
Joshy Nutt.
Welcome.
Old Nuts.
Cool. So yeah, World of Warcraft. I have a lot of experience in Classic, playing Wrath of the Lich King re-release the classic right now. Raiding in Ulduar with my Fire Mage as my new main. I also still have a max level Ret Paladin and a max level Disc Priest. So I have three characters, and I don't raid all three of them. I kind of just have the lovely option to play tank, healer, or DPS now. And I've played every expansion up until Dragonflight, which is actually the new retail one that's supposed to be good.
It looks, I've heard good things. It looks.
They added a scaly race, right? That people want to fuck. I assume.
I would never play it, but
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not so into the retail world, but classic, I can answer just about anything.
Yeah, Jamie, yeah. Not a scaly, not playing retail. WoW, doesn't know how horny people are, how horny on main they are.
Yeah.
In Stormwind, or whatever the main city is.
Yeah. I have written down that Pete played at a friend's place and Ethan played every expansion up until Shadowlands. I'm not sure that's right, but...
I did not play Shadowlands. I played up to the one before that, which I think was Legion, right?
There's one in... Maybe. I think there's one in between.
Expansions. Let me see.
I can't remember.
I bet you are right. Yeah, I played at my buddy Logan's place. We were playing on private servers back in the day in 2007 or whatever, and I think I think he had Burning Crusade. Or the server he was playing on had BC on it. I don't remember.
It was BFA, which I did play BFA.
BFA.
After Legion. I thought BFA. I had them backwards in my head.
That was like the beginning of the end for like a lot of people's faith in
for me, for sure. I mean, yeah. It had been chipped away for a long time, but I was like, that one. Yeah. Cataclysm was like a huge blow for me where I was like, this sucks. It sucks that it sucked because I thought it was so cool that they like destroyed the world, like the Black Dragon, whose name I'm forgetting now, Deathwing?
Deathwing. Easy or Neltharion. Neltharion.
Remember.
Yeah.
It is really cool that it's like, oh, it destroyed like all these, like I love that the Barrens was split, that like Thousand Needles was like flooded. Like I loved that, but then the fact that the actual content was so like stale and crummy was just like super disappointing.
Yeah, BFA into Shadowlands were like two wildly considered bad expansions. One of the big problems was loot. They would add something called like Titan Forge loot. We're going to talk a bit about the Titan Forge today. They're basically just a race of people that were given powers by the Titans and they're immortal. But basically you could get that piece of gear that you wanted, but it didn't roll this stat. Or it did roll this stat, but then you got to Titan Forge it. And then, so there's just so many layers of RNG on top of, like, you'll never get your full BIS, like your best in slot, because you're just counting on so many rolls. But in Classic, it's hard to get all the best items, but you can do it because if you get that chest piece, that's the best chest piece.
That's
you
know? The one, okay. Yeah.
You don't have
you
to
have
like
to keep
roll
rolling it. On that one chest piece.
Exactly.
Which I mean, and, like, yeah, the whole game model is pretty gotcha, right? Where it's like you're just trying to get the rolls and just trying to get the good drop or yeah. Whatever. So I could see them like leaning into that and being it's like WoW players, you included, Jamie, are so funny to me. And as a former WoW player too, but somebody who never got into endgame, right? It's like you complain about that mechanic in the game, but that's kind of like what the mechanic is throughout the game, you know what I mean? Like that's what it always was. They really just said like, oh, you like this, we'll give you more of it. And then it's funny that there's this like arbitrary line that players are like, nope, that's too far now.
WoW players want to have the best stuff possible while playing the minimum amount possible.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
And paying for time.
You're paying for time, but you're trying to pay less. But you always end up spending a lot of time anyways.
Exactly. It's so weird.
1/3 of the year or less is my goal to play World of Warcraft, right? Yeah. To get my best in slot.
And you pay for expansions, right? Like I'm on the Dragonflight page right now. It's like it's $55 Canadian. For the expansion, you know what I mean? And you're paying monthly and you've bought every other expansion. Like, I don't know if it's just sunk cost for people or what, but
Diablo 4 beta was this week too, and there's a lot of criticisms about it.
Did you get your KFC double down? Because you can either pre-order it or go to Kentucky Fried Chicken in the States to get a beta code. That's insane.
I talked to one of my friends in California, and he's the chubbiest of the brothers, and he got his KFC sandwich and his beta. Yeah,
and he was already on the way.
Yeah, he's part of like the 17 brothers. This they have like 20 kids like in California. They basically live on a compound. The dad he's constantly in a robe with a thing of Gatorade. I feel like. Yeah. Super cool family, though. Like, I've raided with them since, like, day one in Molten Core, and they've always been in my raid group. So
it's the Steam sale, obviously, the spring Steam sale right now. And it took the Steam sale for me to realize that there's a new Watch Dogs game out. I'm like, man.
What?
Yeah, there's one that came out at the end of January, apparently. And I completely had not heard of it.
The last one I knew about was, like, Watch Dogs 2.
It came out in January. It is 80% off. So, like,
How's my racket?
Now that I think of it, I might be less than a year game time, because I took like a year break during Burning Crusade. But I was probably on track for it to be one third of my time before the break. Okay. Yeah. A lot of that in Classic WoW too is like just getting world buffs. So like while you're working, you stay logged in a town because you have to wait till someone turns in a quest item so you can get a world buff. And you don't show up to raid without world buffs because you can't parse without world buffs. So a lot of it is just sitting around. But anyways, let's get into the myth. Enough about us boring players. The creation myth of the universe and some ancient Azerothian history. So there's a few different theories on how the Warcraft universe began. First, you might have heard of this one. It's called the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Bazinga.
Yeah.
Our whole universe was in a dank, dark place. What is that? How's that song go?
Our universe was a nerd. And it had a hot neighbor across the hall. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he would steal breast milk from her, right? I think that's the premise of the show.
And Blizzard it was, yes. Okay, and Blizzard it was, yes.
Yeah.
It's a sub.
The game director from World of Warcraft Jesus would go to Christ. Penny's apartment and steal breast milk.
Oh, God.
Awful.
Nine seasons on CBS.
Yeah. Coughing cat face puke. Some theorize that a catastrophic cosmic explosion sent infinite worlds spinning out into the vastness of the great dark, worlds that will one day bear life forms of wondrous and terrible diversity.
Terrible diversity.
Way to go, Blizzard. Yeah. Off to a strong start.
That's a direct quote off of Wowpedia.
The universe is trying to instigate terrible diversity. What is going on? They're going to take away your gas stove and blow up the world.
Yeah. The woke moralists would have you embrace terrible diversity.
What now, WoW players?
somebody get the Jordan Peterson AI voice to just read this WoW fandom page.
Oh, dude, that'd be fucking great.
That's a free viral meme for you.
Yep. So another theory is light and void collision. So there's light, there's void, and they hit together and they spiral out into the newly formed cosmos. So that's
cool. That's you hit the real world creation myth. You hit the fantasy trope creation myth. Do we have any more bingos to hit here?
Yeah, I don't have a beer. I don't have a beer on me, but I'll take a drink for the void again. Gets back, baby.
Others believe that the universe was created by a single all-powerful entity.
Okay,
All right. That's a good one. Clerics of Northshire believe this. The humans in probably
the light
like
the is the entity, right? Is it called the light?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because that's what about on an older episode. We have talked about the light.
We've talked about paladins and stuff, and like they believe in the light. I don't know if that's like the same single entity that's believed in, but that's where like paladins and priests get their powers from, right?
Clerics of Northshire would make sense because Northshire is, I think, the starting area for human paladins and priests. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all humans, Even rogues. So where was I? Yeah, so they think one god, there's a bunch of different mythologies for different races and stuff, but some of them are not that interesting. One that I thought was kind of cool is the Tauren mythology. The earliest of the Tauren myths, the Mists of Dawn is called, recounts the creation of the world and the Tauren race by a deity called the Earth Mother.
Okay. You hear them quote the Earth Mother. Like that's one of the standard lines that a Tauren will say when you're playing as one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so before the age of memory, which I think is just before people wrote shit down.
the age of memory, which is like explicitly not memory. It's like codifying your memories into something that stands the test of time. Yeah.
Before the age of memory, the Earth Mother breathed the world into existence from the golden mists, transforming the clouds into rich, endless fields of grain.
That's so funny. I was going to make a grain joke because they're cow people, but I'm glad that's like already canon. I was like, she who provides hay bales and like bucket, like aluminum buckets of water is our goddess, right?
Yeah.
Taurens are really fun to play. They're the only ones when you're on a Tauren mount, you can't go through like the doors that are made for normal people. You get a war
What's
stall.
Their default mount?
Kodo.
Yep.
They're like Kodos, it's big lizard, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, as a non-WoWer, I have no idea what that means, because you just guys, I asked a question, you guys threw a fake word at me. I'm like, oh yeah, of course.
It's like a rhino lizard type thing, but it's really big. It's on all four legs, as like most mounts.
I posted a picture of it.
Okay.
I know trolls ride raptors, and that was always cool, but I never got that far in WoW at my neighbors.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like a rhinoceros with a hunchback.
The wolf left this grain brain, believes a woman could be God.
If you grind reputation, just about anyone can have a Kodo or a raptor or a mount or a... They make it possible to get pretty much all the mounts. Some people, that's all they do in WoW. They don't play the game other than just to collect mounts. And they do things like mount-offs where you like meet up with a player... And then they equip a mount, and then you have to match that mount. And if you don't have the mount, then you get an X, and then it's your turn to put on the challenging mounts, trying to catch your people off. And
my roommate had a dragon that was supposed to be super rare, and he would just park it in the center of town and have people stare at him, basically. There's, just like peacocking that way.
In Dalaran, right now, you can't fly into it. It's a flying city, but if you fly into it, it'll dismount you. But there's a well that has a portal into the sewers, and the portal doesn't count as city ground. So people fly their mounts over the well just to like fly in place and show off their cool mounts. So you're considered kind of an asshole if you're on the well, like you're like a show off. But if you got like the newest, like there's mounts you can get for getting achievements in raid for like not dying the entire raid, no one dying and like doing specific things. So if you have the newest mount week one raid, it's kind of accepted. Okay. You can show off on the well a little bit.
Cool. Yeah.
You get your well time.
Well.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the Earth Mother. She did her nice breath and turning clouds into fields of grain. She created day and night by alternately opening her right and left eye.
Okay, cool. So the Tauren people who were created shift slightly in her field of vision, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the Anshi is the sun and Musha is the moon, respectively, which are just her eyes. And the shadow of her hands caused the Tauren, because the shadow didn't allow the grain to grow underneath her hands, and the Tauren sprouted up from the earth to rise from the soil.
Okay.
Wow, they're literal soy jacks, huh?
Yeah, so that's kind of some of the other mythologies, and we hit the big ones like ours, Big Bang, like you said, fantasy, two things hit together, spiral out, God, other more, I guess, like close to the earth God.
Yeah, more cow based religions, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and then there's a theory that Titans seeded the existing worlds. So just go with me for this for now, and I'm going to get into in-depth what the Titans and the Old Gods are after this.
Sure.
But, the Titans are colossal metal-skinned gods from the far reaches of the cosmos, and they explored the newborn universe and set out to work on the worlds they encountered. They shape the world by raising mighty mountains, dredging out vast seas. They breathe the skies and raging atmospheres into being. So breathing the sky... Maybe it was actually a Titan and not an Earth Mother, but don't tell a Tauren that.
Maybe the Earth Mother is a Titan, right?
Yeah, it really could be. It was all part of their unfathomable, far-sighted plan to create order out of chaos.
Okay. Of course. Take a drink.
So here we are, yeah. They even empowered primitive races to tend to their works and maintain the integrity of their respective worlds. So that's kind of the Titans thing. They're giants that are just trying to make order out of the world. And we're going to get into a lot more about them soon.
Okay.
Alternatively, there's the members of the Twilight's Hammer that believe the old gods were the creators of the world. And the Titans were corruptive, so-called shapers that ruined the world from its original form.
Yeah, there used to be tentacles and dick girls everywhere. Titans ruined it with their order.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in-game, you run into these folks anytime there's an old god about. So in Silithus, when we were fighting C'Thun in the War of the Shifting Sands, bunch of Twilight's Hammer. In Northrend, near Yogg-Saron, in Storm Peaks, bunch of Twilight's Hammer. They tend to congregate around the sites of these old gods.
Cool. So they, like, we've done episodes on the old gods before. Do we ever talk about the Twilight Hammer specifically? It doesn't sound that familiar to me.
Not too much. There, we could go like really deep into them. We're not going to talk too much about them today. I'm going to focus more on the old gods than the folks that worship.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember Twilight's Hammer because to grind rep to get the rep weapon that was the best in slot single-hander outside of raid, you had to get all these like pages, and like 10 pages would get you like 50 rep, and you needed like thousands and thousands and thousands of rep. And I remember just killing, I've killed enough Twilight's Hammer to have angered the old gods themselves, I think. But, so anyways, we're gonna get into the old gods and the Titans a little bit more after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back from the break. So we've been talking about the Titans and the old gods, some of the creation myths, like the Bazinga myth. And so
Sheldon willed the cow people into existence. Yep. is like the next show is going to be Old God Sheldon, where he creates cow people. Is that the next to come?
Like young Sheldon. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say, not to out her, she got mad at me because my girlfriend now is very into movies. She was just like, "You haven't seen Gladiator? I cannot believe it." I'm like, "I'm sorry, it came out when I was a child and I didn't go back."
You should see Gladiator though, more so than Band of Brothers.
But I have walked into her apartment and she's been watching Young Sheldon on Netflix, and I think that's worse than having not seen Gladiator. Yeah, I'm just to shame her now.
Yeah, she like flicks the channel. I was watching porn.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nicholas Dick Girls and Old Gods on her screen all of a sudden.
So I want to dig deeper into the Titans and old gods.
Sure, you're in charge here, man.
Yeah, so Sargeras,
you goes, you know.
Sargeras is one of these Titans, the big bad. We're gonna get into all the Titans later. I'm just gonna pull up the Titans page and go through them because there's a few enough that we can like get to know all of them.
See him in a cutscene. Legion, get access to some end game dungeons. I think it's like the cutscene. I think it's when you hit max level, but
it could be. He is the big bad in Legion. Yeah, these guys are planet sized cosmic beings. Like they're that's the first thing I had written here. Actually, a race of colossal planet sized cosmic beings composed of arcane magic and the primordial matter from which the universe was born. Arcane. Great druids, show. Druids and mages can do it.
Druids do arcane.
Yep. Yeah. Boomkins.
Boomkins. I just Boomkins. Yeah. Like my frame of reference is always Dungeons and Dragons, obviously. But it's like druids are very they're like nature spells, right? Like less arcane, whereas like wizards are arcane spell, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's I think because they're kind of cosmic, the moon chickens as the boomkins are sometimes called, and like they have spells like starfall or moon fire and stuff like that. So
and I mean
that's where they are.
Yeah. In this like cosmos, in this cosmology, if the Titans are composed of this primordial essence, which is in turn called arcane essence, then like it would make sense that, you know, an astral druid would be pulling from that that same wellspring, which would be arcane. So it's just a different way of defining it, but
interesting. Totally. Yeah, boomkin, one of the funnest classes to play. It was completely unviable in classic, but if you showed up, people loved it because they got the crit buff. And you would do less damage than everyone, but you could just like try and be the best boomkin there was. So fight against all the other boomkins. And I had one.
Be the best moon chicken you can be.
Back in classic, I had like 4 or 5 max levels, and boomkin was one of them.
These guys are crazy looking. Jesus.
Oh, I wanted to bring my boomkin with me in the server transfers, but everything's all locked up. So I have a level 60 boomkin on some old server somewhere.
Yeah, he's with your Neopets, your Tamagotchi, just like waiting for you to come home.
Yeah, my hunter pet that I haven't fed in
The brave little toaster. Where it's
they're actually really good now too. They fixed them real good, so you definitely want boomkins in your group in Wrath. But anyways, these Titans, they're roaming the cosmos like walking worlds, imbued with the raw power of creation itself. And what their whole goal is yes, they're trying to create order, but they're using their will to find others and awaken them of their kind. So not all Titans are planet size. Not all planets are Titans.
Okay.
So they're going and rattling every planet and putting their ear to it to see if there's a world soul inside.
Didn't people do that with cards? Like you'd weigh a pack of cards because one that had a foil in
foil
it was like
is heavier.
1/1,000,000,000th of a gram like heavier.
Yeah. It's still a thing that you can buy heavy packs online and
You take your scale to the store essentially and you just weigh all the packs and
I wonder if they
buy the one that's heavier.
Yeah. You can buy heavy packs online, but it's there's also like people who reseal packs and they'll just put like the crappy foils all in together. And so it's like selling heavy packs and they're heavy, but they're crap.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Yeah. Buying secondhand, you're always running the risk that somebody just resealed them. So,
yeah. Yeah. So world souls is something I mentioned. To be a Titan, you have to have a world soul in you. And it's a spirit who are formed with the fiery cores of a small number of worlds. And they usually sleep for a long time and dream peacefully and then eventually wake up when a Titan finds them and become self-aware.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool thing I found out. So Azeroth, the whole planet that you play on in World of Warcraft, one of the developers came out and said, Azeroth's never going to wake up. It's always going to be slumbering. And the real Titan on Azeroth is the spirit of the world soul is every single player altogether. So it's all of us banding together who can do the work of a Titan kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So that developer was saying gamers will never rise up.
Well, we'll never wake up for sure. Yeah. Stay asleep. Pay your $15 a month.
Yeah. Dude, drink your stolen breast milk and take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 2030, we will live in the Blizzard-funded breast milk pods. The World Economic Forum has partnered with Blizzard.
Like these Titans are living worlds. Their bodies have like mountain peaks, rivers. Their forms are wrapped in cloaks of stardust. Their eyes shine like brilliant stars. And if I should have grabbed this picture, but on the Titans page, or actually I'll just grab it now, there's like a picture of them, and it's kind of like a constellation where their eyes just are really bright. You don't meet
cat in our
kind
chat.
Of like a constellation where their eyes are really bright.
I'm trying to do something and talk at the same time, and I gave up on talking more than everything.
It's Mount Rushmore in a nebula, essentially, and then the eyes are like shining Shining stars.
Okay.
Yep. And that's a good way to picture them in the mythos. When you actually meet them, they're usually just like probably like 20 feet tall monsters that you like, you're as big as like their forearm or something. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, back to where we were. Titans, they're, like I said, really tied close to Arcane. Arcane is their lifeblood. The original Well of Eternity, which is a big lake that's on Azeroth, with volatile arcane energies. You can just imagine like a pool of swirling magic. It was the lifeblood of Azeroth's world soul. Okay. And the Well of Eternity, in theory, goes all the way down into the core of the planet. So okay. what's the opposite of arcane? Any idea?
Sword.
Zarkane?
It's another type of magic, and it's bad magic in Azeroth.
Fell magic.
Oh, okay. Fell magic. Yep, fell magic. Ethan got it. That's you'll
I
see that
never
in the Warcraft.
Gonna get it.
If you saw the Warcraft movie, it was a big
and we've
part
done
of
episodes on it, Peter.
Oh, the green shit.
The green shit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Oh yeah, and of course, like fell the fell is what F-E-L. They use to power. Yeah, what they power the portal with, and the hunched over hobo orc like sucks the life force out of people and makes their skin grease. Green, yeah. Rather. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did see that movie.
See, you could have got it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of David Bowie's son. He does good work. He did Moon and Warcraft for some fucking reason.
I just met a Great Dane that was like the size of a small horse named Bowie at the dog park this morning. He was very cute.
Yeah. Cute.
So mature titans are immune to the corruptive influences of Fel and the Void Lords, or they're supposed to be. Who are the Void Lords? This is something really cool, but I want to talk about the Titans. I want to finish the Titans talk first, and then we'll get to the Void Lords, yeah. So I'm pulling up the Titan Wowpedia page, just in case anyone wants to follow along, but I'm pulling up just to talk about some of the Titans that we know already. The Titans work together in a pantheon, so they try and move together towards a common goal. We have Amon Thul, who's the High Father of the Pantheon. And
Zeus, if you will.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about more about him later, too, kind of where we finish off with the Old Gods. Because he tried to remove an Old God from Azeroth, but he realized when he pulled it out, all the lifeblood started coming out because it was so deeply rooted.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
Lenny in the Simpsons taking the silver dollar out of his forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Burns is trying to give away money for to the peasants or whatever. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He wanted to be a good person. So he's like, free silver dollars. He's like throwing it out of a Zeppelin.
Did he want to be a good person? Was it not the other millionaire came by and was just more popular than him? And they opened like the Mega Mart or the mall or whatever.
Yeah,
and then he wants to be a good to get person. In touch with the common man.
Yeah, it's because Mr. Burns is like the hated billionaire because he's not charismatic or good looking or charitable. And then the other guy was the popular billionaire where he's, you know, not charitable at all because you can't be a billionaire if you give your money away. But he's charismatic and like good looking, right? Opposed to be like the hunchback vulture man that that Mr. Burns is. But yeah, he like showers the town with hey Lenny, you might want to do something about that quarter in your brain. Nah, let's go bowling.
Yeah. Amon Thul, the Zeus dude of the Titans, he blessed the bronze dragon Nazdormu with the power of time.
Okay.
So that comes up a lot in the WoW mythos, is like, oh, we're not on the right timeline, so the bronze dragon flight came to correct
There was a whole expansion about retconning the timeline so that orcs weren't all evil all the time, basically.
Which one was that?
Warlords of Draenor.
Warlords of Draenor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You like go back in time and meet Thrall's father, I think. Thrall's parents.
That was the expansion where I fell in love with PvP. And I remember sitting in my kitchen with like, I had a giant subwoofer on the table and I had it plugged in and I was running Battlegrounds and I was playing that song, Night Tonight Tonight, Give Me the Other, Give Me the Other. But I was singing, Give Me the Honor, Give Me the Honor in my head. I'm like,
Was this at the swamp? Because or at Swamp House? Because it wasn't, you weren't playing WoW in your kitchen there, were you?
No, it's when I lived with the girls after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Yeah, it was the summer whenever no one was around, so I had the whole place to myself, and I was just okay. blasting 80s beats playing PvP with a frost mage. I always like mages. A&R. He's the life binder. He's the protector of life, nature, and health. Or she, sorry.
They named the gun after her, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah. She imbues Freya with a portion of her powers. Freya creates the Emerald Dream, which is where the green dragons live. And there's a lot of lore there that I don't even understand. Now, druids have a lot to do with that.
I think we've talked about the Emerald Dream before, because that is a concept of that I remember as a as like from something that you guys have done in the past.
It's
so,
like
I got our old episodes.
Ysera is like the dreamer, and she's like this ancient green dragon. And as long as she remains dreaming, the Emerald Dream remains like a realm that you can travel to. And
I think druids, like especially now at a certain point in their leveling, they have to go to the Emerald Dream to complete some type of druid specific quest. And A&R also blessed the red dragon Alexstrasza with the power to safeguard all living creatures in life. Alexstrasza is like the red dragon, which means life and like vitality and stuff.
Okay. It's funny going from our Chromatic Dragon episode or our Dragonlance episode last week, where they're all just evil, like world-destroying monsters. And now it's like, yeah, these ones are great, actually.
No, half the dragons are good in Dragonlance.
I know the metal ones. That's true.
The metal ones are good in the Chromatic.
But the red dragon specifically, Alexstrasza is looking out for humanity. A red dragon and Dragonlance would turn their nose up at humanity.
There are metallic dragons in WoW too, right? Like there is bronze.
Well, the bronze one fixes time, right?
I don't think there's gold dragons, right? WoW? No. So no. I guess they just mix and match chromatic. Yeah.
Whenever we had to fight C'Thun, the bronze dragonflight were really involved in that too to make sure it happened, because I think for our timeline to continue, we had to get them. Next up is Norgannon. Keeper of celestial magics and lore. So Norgannon would be our titan.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Nice. Master of arcane magic. Gave power to the keepers Loken and Mimiron. So those are based off of...
those are Chinese knockoff Norse gods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Loken, we're going to meet Yogg-Saron, which is like the current endgame boss in Wrath of the Lich King. Before we eventually get to the Lich King, but Yogg-Saron corrupted Loken, which caused a whole bunch of shit. Basically, the whole reason why we're in there is because Loken got corrupted. And he's at the end of the Halls of Lightning dungeon, if you've ever done that.
Okay.
Yeah. Norgannon also gave great power to Malygos to be the guardian of magic and arcanum. Malygos... probably more like the red dragons in the way that he doesn't like people as much and thinks he's better than everyone because he's super smart. But in phase one of Wrath of Lich King, we go and kill him. It's a really fun fight.
Fucking smart.
Yeah. Yeah, he calls in sparks to himself to like empower himself of pure arcane energy. But you have people basically stun the spark, then you kill the spark, and it makes a pool. And if you stand in the pool, you do a lot more damage.
Oh, you gain the arcane energy power.
Yeah, so the meta is to have a Death Knight pull it into the raid group, you kill it, and then there's a second spark, you pull it in, and you stack the sparks, and you stand in that Venn diagram cleavage area. Yeah. And you just get double
Venn diagram cleavage area.
Yeah,
where the tits of the graph are held together, right? Like that part.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get like double damage bonus. And then you kill him, hopefully before he stays too long in air phase. And then Alexstrasza comes along, and you all hop onto the back of a red dragon, and you fight Malygos, all 25 people on the backs of red dragons.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's a really fun fight, actually. And you eventually beat Malygos. But he doesn't die because he comes back. You just kind of weaken him and he runs away.
He's like banished or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. There's Golgoneth. He's the father of the sea giants. If you've ever been in game and are near the ocean, there's usually sea giants. They're like blue and green and probably twice the height of you. He also imbued the keepers Hodir and Thorim with power. Hodir and Thorim, both bosses in the current content of Ulduar.
The current classic content.
Okay. Yeah, current classic content. Exactly. Mm-hmm. On Thor, or I'm sorry, on Hodir, it's the Fire Mage fight. Like, the next guy below me had maybe 9k DPS, and I was pushing 15 to 16. There's a lot of stuff that scales really well with crit in that Hodir fight, and Fire Mages are, like, crit kings right now.
Every time you say it, I'm just, like, thinking it sounds like an exasperated, like, Hodir, just gonna go take care of this problem.
Yeah. Hodir and Thorim both... probably based off of Nord scuds as well. I'm not sure.
Hodir would be Thorim.
Hodir probably based off of Hod or Hother, sometimes called. He's actually the one who canonically kills Baldur. Which, if I ever do the God of War 4 spoiler episode, we'll get into how that works with the how it happens in God of War. But
yeah, cool. We have Khazgaroth, the next Titan, who is the shaper and forger of worlds. He's the ultimate craftsman and builder. He's empowered the black dragon Neltharion, who later became
Deathwing.
Yep.
After being trapped under a mountain or something.
Yeah, with dominant. He was like in the middle of the ocean or something under.
He's under the big swirling thing in the middle of the ocean, right?
Yeah, the cataclysm.
The maelstrom.
The
maelstrom. Yeah, which caused the cataclysm.
Yeah, him leaving causes the cataclysm. He destroys the world.
Which I've basically means it's very cool.
Yeah, that was all just like redo the old world, so now flying mounts can be in old world too.
Okay.
Deathwing was hidden away inside the stone core in the Temple of Earth at the center of the world.
Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, so Khazgaroth, for better or for worse, helped out Neltharion get his powers, the Black Dragonfly. The Black Dragons are supposed to be like crafters and like builders of the Earth. They're like Earth aspected. But for reasons, Deathwing kind of goes against and wants to destroy the Earth.
It kind of makes sense. It's like they're stained with like coal soot. Because I know like I've seen the cutscene of Deathwing. Like between his scales, kind of looks like the inside of a crucible or like a forge, and he's all black as if he's caked in coal dust or ash or something. Right?
Yeah. I think in BW Blackwing Lair, which is in class like vanilla classic. You beat Neltharion, and I think Neltharion is Neltharion's father. I need to fact check on that one, but it is a black dragon. So we've beaten a black dragon. Onyxia, I think, is another black dragon, because to go beat Neltharion, you have to first beat Onyxia and make cloaks out of her scales, because there's a mechanic that shoots out like basically a fire wave. And if you don't have the cloak, you die.
Okay.
So I can only imagine back in 2006, everyone's like, why do we just keep dying to this one mechanic? And then someone wears the cloak eventually, and then you get through it. But
Neltharion, with an F, is Neltharion, Deathwing's son, eldest son.
Okay.
So you had it
wrong. Yep. I had it wrong. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you beat the son. Eventually, you'll beat the father in like three expansions later.
Yeah.
Sounds like Norse mythology.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have Aghrimmar, the lieutenant of the
City of Mystery and Enchantment.
Yeah. Aghrimmar. Yeah. Yeah, he's the successor to Sargeras as the champion of the Pantheon. And he's charged with fighting off Fel, basically.
Is
like
there an Arabian Nights expansion for WoW? Is there it is like an anagram, I guess, sort of, for Baghdad. Or something like that. But is there old Arab-inspired area with, like, the cool temples and shit, or no?
I think
it's, like, honestly, C'Thun and the Shifting Sands is, like, the closest we might have to that. But there's just a whole lot of bugs. So there's a lot more bug-theming than that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's pretty empty of civilization, right? Like, the desert in the south. So, like, I wouldn't call that necessarily.
No, there's a one town.
Sahara.
Yeah.
There's one town in Silithus. So it's like a Cenarian refuge or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's an outpost more than anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A bug man doesn't stop you when you get to the area. And he goes, my friend, welcome. Yeah. Dang.
Oh, man, that whole place is awful. You just hear buzzing and stuff. And if you go back and listen to The War of the Shifting Sands, we had Ethan's roommate, Jer, on, who did the whole...
Yeah, that's true.
The whole Scarab Lord achievement, where we literally spend like 72 hours straight just killing bugs. And there was a phenomenon that was called like bug fever or bug brain, where people would just start to go kind of crazy because they were killing the exact same thing for 72 hours straight. And
it's like the Tetris effect there.
Yeah. And then like boom, there's like an hour long video about it, and it's really fucking cool because there's three different hives, and there was literally like a war story of different clans taking over different hives. And then once eventually everyone said, just fuck all the clans, and they like just rolled a bunch of boomkins in, because boomkin moonfire, with like the way the server ticks worked, you would hit before anything else so you could steal the tag on the bugs. So there's basically these boomkin terrorists just saying no one gets the Scarab Lord map. it's so fucking interesting on how this one little like quest line caused like
we did it, it's like a blood episode.
Yeah.
We did the Corrupted Blood episode like a couple of months before COVID started, but I love the little the anthropology of World of Warcraft is fascinating. Little micro societies.
My favorite, probably my favorite streamer, actually, I watch him a lot. He's like Soda Poppin', and he doesn't play WoW. He is a WoW player for sure, but he doesn't play WoW very much. And he logged on his alt account just to go, and he plays a druid. So he would do that exact thing and on stream just delete all the items that the people were collecting. I loved it. He was just showing up just to make other people mad.
But you love griefing in WoW. I watched you telekinesis people off bridges and kill them and shit. Or like,
I found out as a mage, there's like these bombs that kind of go in a circle in Ulduar, and they'll one-shot you. But I can hit one with my wand at a distance, kite it, and then blink past someone, and the bomb will hit the blow up on them. And these are my friends I'm raiding with.
These are your friends. Maybe you're not their friend. Who knows, huh?
We have fun. We have fun. So Aggramar, he's the successor to Sargeras. And the reason why he's the successor to Sargeras is because Sargeras was the former champion of Pantheon. He was fighting the Burning Legion. But then he became, or fighting the Fel, but then he became the creator and lord of the Burning Legion. So he's like, no, Fel, come with me, because we're going to kill everything. So he used to be fighting for the Pantheon, but left it. Aggramar took his spot. We're going to talk a little bit more about Sargeras, though.
And yeah, he sounds like the big one to talk about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Azeroth. Could potentially become the most powerful titan in existence, according to the Pantheon. It's dormant, but the power comes from all the $15 a month players like me.
It's like Mata Nui in our Bonkle episodes, where the island of Mata Nui in Bionicle is like the slumbering body of their robot god.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of the titans. I want to make sure that I do talk about Sargeras. Yeah, I do talk about Sargeras later. Okay, good. So we'll go back to Void Lords.
Memo to me, remember to write most important part of the script.
I put this together, I'll be honest, fairly quickly, because it's been a really busy weekend. So I just wanted to make sure it's all... I thought it was coming later, and it was coming later. Good. Back to Void Lords. I didn't know much about the Void Lords, and I think these are really fucking cool. From the moment the physical universe was born, so you can picture it as a big bang and like a globe of physical existence, and anything outside of that physical existence is the void.
Okay.
Or however that you believe it. If you believe the two, the void and the light hit each other, then the void is kind of spread out amongst the light. Or however it is, there's a physical realm and a void realm, and never the two shall mix.
What is the void realm of the infinite... Like the golden, the amber waves of grain. Like, what's that? What's that? Like, the cow one. What is the void for the Tauren?
Oh, that's a good question. I wonder what they would think of it.
Desert, I guess, would be like,
yeah.
Somewhere with no pasture, right?
I know what it is, actually. They would think the centaurs were members of the void, that the Taurens hate the centaurs.
I didn't even know there were centaurs in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Really? They hate the centaurs?
They hate the
horse. Is it a horse thing, or is it because they're configured differently? Where they're like the human top half and animal lower half, opposed to being like just like a beast man.
I read this really briefly 2 days ago, but I think the centaurs did something to betray the Tauren, and might even have like partnered with some type of void energy, or brought or introduced the Tauren to the void. Because I know the Tauren, a bunch of them fall to the void, and I think it was because of like a trick a centaur played on them. Okay. Yeah. Well, I would have to centaur Torin lore one day, I guess.
John Hamm, the centaur in Mad Men, advertising cigarettes to Torin children, right?
They're little tentacles that you suck on.
Oh my god. Void smokes.
Yeah.
Or it's like Joe Camel would be like kind of a centaur, right? Yeah, and he's selling
packs of tentacles to touring kids, getting them hooked on dick girls and
the unfiltered pack of tentacles when you're 16 at the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I'd rather them smoke than watch young Sheldon, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Void Lords are envious of the Titans' power, and the Void Lords attempt to corrupt them, but the Titans are impervious to their attempts. So the Void Lords felt like they were failing in the physical realm, and they wanted to be more a part of it, so they banded together. All the Void Lords are like working together and pooled their power, and they're hurling dark parasitic horrors into the physical realm. We all know these as
jerks.
The old gods.
Jerks, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. These are so the old gods. Yeah.
The old gods are just like parasites that are sent from the void.
Yeah. And the Void Lords don't know where the Titan world souls are. They just see a bunch of planets or whatever from the outside of their snow globe.
They're not rattling it to check to, or they're not weighing the planets to see if there's a soul inside.
Yeah, this is a heavy planet. There's probably a Titan world soul. Fuck, it just had an iron core, man. They got it again. Yeah.
One guy's like, I got the biggest one. It's like a gas giant. It's like not solid whatsoever. He's like, God damn it, I got scammed buying planets secondhand. Reseal the atmosphere and they sell it to make it heavier.
Yeah. So the Void Lords don't know where the world stores are. So they're basically throwing darts into a dark gymnasium that only has a few balloons in it. And
okay,
they're just trying every time. Maybe this will stick, you know?
Maybe we'll hit.
Yeah.
And eventually, I bet they do.
They do.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like one of like, you guys ever have tombola at school? Like the little like fair you would put on? And we would do like a little fit, like carnival with mini games all set up by the kids. And like throwing darts in a dark gymnasium is just like the most budget like carnival game that a 6-year-old would make up. I'm like, I definitely, if that was a thing, because you know, you've got like the big rainbow parachute covered in like, in birdies and badminton birds. And
a
like
core, a core memory for anyone who's experienced it.
Yeah, exactly.
When it was your turn to climb under the big rainbow tarp
in the tent. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I stole that metaphor from something I heard actually.
Really?
It's tattoo removal. And whenever you have a tattoo removal, you can picture a dark gymnasium that's full of balloons. So your first pass, it's going to take away a lot of ink.
Okay.
But by the second time you do it, you're missing a lot now. You're missing a lot. So there's not as much. And by the time you get to the end, like that last bit of tattoo, you might have to do it 10 times. Yeah. It might not come off. But this is...
And the gymnasium's made of your flesh, and every dart does hurt.
Yeah, it does.
You're trying to hit balloons, but like, every dart is hurting. So
it might be better...
I've got three small tattoos, and the one on my stomach, I think getting removed would be like miserable. Getting the ones on my wrists removed would be like Guantanamo torture, like unbelievable, because getting them put on was hard enough.
Yeah You got a tattoo removal up the wrist, Pete, if you're serious about it. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Yeah, otherwise I'm just getting my tattoos removed for attention.
Yeah. Anyways, that was from a tattoo removal documentary I watched in 2011, so maybe it's better now, but I don't know.
Yeah, I only know tattoo removal from The Simpsons, where they use a laser and Bart's got the little cast on.
Right.
Because he gets this moth tattoo.
Yep. So anyways, back to Void Lords. They're throwing their old gods in, hoping they stick on Pete's wrist or whatever.
Chucking jars of interdimensional leeches into the window from outside, right?
Like, yeah.
Just hoping they hit somebody with them.
Yeah. And it's really important to say too that the Void Lords and their old gods, they really aren't meant to live in the physical world. So a lot of them you throw in and they kind of just fade away before they stick to anything. The old gods
throwing an interdimensional leech through the window just lands in a big pile of salt.
Pretty much, exactly. Interdimensional leech is the insult. Yeah. And the Void Lords themselves can't really cross into. And if they do manifest in the physical world, they're like a shadow. Like they're like in your dreams where you try and punch and nothing happens.
And you feel like you're underwater.
Yeah, yeah. So they're not meant to be here, but they really just want our power. So they're
it's the sleep paralysis demon is a Void Lord.
Yes.
The hat man.
They can't really do anything to you.
My friends were in town from New York City, and one of them is from Louisiana, and he was like, is there some kind of voodoo in Montreal? I'm like, what do you mean? He's just like, because I have had sleep paralysis every night since I got here for the first time in my life.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. I don't know what hotel you're staying in, man. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm good at sleep paralysis now. I've figured it out.
What does that mean?
I'm like good at getting.
Yeah, you're good at sleep paralysis.
I'm good. I can get myself out of it.
Okay, you can escape.
Yeah,
Someone would argue that means you're bad at it.
Well, I used to panic, and I feel like panicking and not be able to do anything was scarier or worse at it than.
Yeah.
What you do is you focus on your fingertips, and you can move your fingers first. Then it starts to get farther and farther, and you can move your hands. Then you can eventually roll over in bed and be like, okay, I'm awake. But
okay, I thought you meant you can yell at the man in the checkered suit at the foot of your couch when you fall asleep on it, and he evaporates back down the drain or something. It's like, I can get him out real quick.
Yeah, I fight him. Yeah, totally.
I pop a boner, I make him uncomfortable. You start with just the tips, okay? You just get a little bit of feeling back into it, get the blood flowing, and then you slowly get the rest of it.
Yo, sits on my chest. So I just poke, as soon as I poke him in the behind, he leaves. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the feeling back into your pelvis. You like arch up and poke him in the poke him in the base of the pants.
Yeah. Is the tip of the penis or the tip of the pelvis?
Mm. There's no bone in it, but I would say so.
Tip of the pelvis to you.
It's yeah, I was going to say tip of the tongue that tips the lips. Tip of the pelvis.
It is the day of the St. Patrick's parade today. It is, Montreal, yeah. The Pantheon's greatest warrior. The Pantheons know the Void exists, but they don't know the Void Lords or the Old Gods exist.
Because they can't explain the leeches landing in salt piles all over the continent, and they're just like...
They're preoccupied because their old greatest warrior and protector, Sargeras. Was going after demons from the Twisting Nether, which I'm not...
Is that the Void?
That's how you get rid of your sleep paralysis demon, is you twist your nethers and then you scare him off.
I'm actually not sure. I don't think they're the
Twisting
same.
Twisting Nether, also known as the Endless Void, the Nether, and Netherworld. I don't know if Endless Void is the Void.
It's unclear, but they are a different type of threat. Like these are demons,
also referred to as shadow. So the Void seems to be in contrary to light, like capital L light being the god.
Okay.
Whereas the Endless Void or the Twisting Nether does seem to be something different.
Okay.
Described as the line between the ebb of light and the flow of void. So it's the line between is the Nether. So they kind of come from the between
the
realm.
Periphery.
Yeah, they come from the windowsill. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Cool.
That the leeches have to pass over the pie on the windowsill, right?
Yeah, exactly. The cooling pie, which is demons.
Yeah. Right. Got it. Okay.
It's fucking easy, guys. Metaphors are really good. Jamie's good at sleep paralysis, and we're all good at metaphors.
So Sargeras, at this point, he's still kind of a good guy, and he's killing all these pies on the windowsill. Which are demons.
just big ass Sargeras, just like a face covered in fucking raspberry jam with like eye cracks all around
the lips.
Don't worry, guys, I'm keeping us safe.
So one day he comes across a world soul that had been I'm getting too deep. I was gonna say popped already. Exactly. He just comes across a world soul that's already completely corrupted by old gods. So they'd hit this planet a couple times from the void.
Okay.
And in the surface, it's covered in void energies. The normal tranquil dreams of the sleeping Titan are twisted into horrific nightmares, like I had this morning of a childhood kid trying to stab my family.
Yeah.
Bad dreams and sleep paralysis, man. You got you got good at bad dreams, but you still haven't gotten good at, or you got good at sleep paralysis, you still haven't gotten good at bad dreams.
No, I woke up stressed, man. Yeah, so Sargeras, he ruthlessly interrogates the demon inhabitants. So he's basically grabbing a pie. You tell me who your leader is. Yeah. Tell me where you came from.
He's just shouting at the pie.
He's like threatening it with a little triangle scoop that he would cut a pie
pie strapped to like a Guantanamo Bay torture chair. Like.
Yeah, they're like just blasting K-pop at it like for 23 hours a day.
He's got his little like tray of torture instruments. Yeah, it's like the pie knife, it's like a can of whipped cream, like waterboarding with whipped cream essentially. He's just got like the can held upside down going onto a cloth on top of the pie.
Dog,
yeah, like the perfect little triangle, like a little like cone.
Force feeding the pie with more pie filling, making it just like overflow essentially.
Yeah, the little teardrop shaped cuts in the pie are like overflowing with blueberries. Like no more, please.
Oh my god!
So it does seem that the demons on the periphery also work with alongside the void creatures because they're working together. Lords. Yeah, I think there's definitely times where the demons and the void lords don't always have the same intentions and motivations. So he interrogates the demons. He would come to dwell amongst the old gods on this planet, and through them he learned of the void lords and their intentions. So Sargeras smote the demons and cleaved the corrupted world in two, killing the world soul within. And this is where it's kind of his Arthas moment.
I was just about to say, is this he went too far to solve the problem like Arthas did when he killed all those villagers thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sargeras' solution to save what the physical world is life must be bad. So purge the cosmos of all life. And a lifeless universe is better than one that's ripped apart by the void, right?
Okay, so he's an AI now, or like Skynet, basically. Kill humanity, because man is the monster sort of thing.
Well, no, it's kill humanity because aliens are going to kill humanity anyway, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair enough. And if there's nothing to corrupt, then they can't be taking over nothing, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the Halo solution. The Halos kill all the food source for the flood, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Demensius the All-Devouring is a Void Lord, and he actually manifested in the physical universe. He's described as a fragment, shadow, or echo of a true Void Lord's power, I said.
I did see a picture of him. I was on the Void Lord's page, and it's like, you did mention they only exist as shadows in the real world, but like, he's so dinky for like a Void Lord called Demensius, right? Like, Demensius the All-Devouring.
So they all appear like the Warlock's pets,
which are
void walkers.
Void walkers, right? Yeah,
yeah. They're nicknamed blueberries by warlocks because they look like blueberries.
I love this jank ass, like before they updated the graphics, like origami World of Warcraft model, and his like because of course he is just like this kind of dark blue smoke cloud wearing kind of big shoulder pads,
terracotta armor,
and like his eyes are different sizes, so he looks like a confused cartoon character.
He really does.
Actually, all Void Lords are canonically appear as Void Walkers whenever they pass into our realm.
Do they all have goofy cartoon eyes like that?
We can assume.
Okay,
Lore Boys canon, they do.
Thank you.
So most things from the void, like I said, can't exist in the physical realm. So the fact that he can even manifest here is impressive by itself. But yeah, little dinky guy. So the old gods, a little bit more about them. They're known as the Shath-Yar in their own language. They're parasitic eldritch horrors.
Horrible porridge.
Yeah. This porridge is just right.
I don't want my eldritch porridge.
It's like Lovecraft's Goldilocks, right? Like Goldilocks and the Three Unknowable Horrors.
Yeah.
those obsidian pillars like burst through the door and she just goes crazy at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Just right.
Yeah. These bloody tears are just right.
Yeah. So the Elder Chores, they're created by the Void Lords, like I said. The four that we get to know, should I throw it to you guys? You want to try it? I said a couple already.
C'Thun, Yogg-Saron.
Yeah.
Like it's bad because I do know all these.
It's a Hearthstone card, at least one of them.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of, just the Hearthstone cards, because there's been a few expansions that are all focused on the old gods.
N'Zoth.
N'Zoth, sure.
And
yeah, he's the one. Sorry?
Yasharge.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have got Yasharge.
Yeah.
N'Zoth has had a few fun cards in Hearthstone where it's just like, for every spell you've cast this game, cast a random spell. you play them like super late and you've just been like playing spell after spell after spell. And you're just like, cool, let's spin a big wheel and see how this goes.
C'Thun or Yogg-Saron had one where it's like everything you play, it's like building up your C'Thun card. So it's like by the time you drop the C'Thun, it's like 28-28 or something. But
yeah, just build up the C'Thun card. So they've been printed multiple times, all the old gods. But like there's one C'Thun, which is like when you play it, it deals like X amount of damage, which just like that, it's like you're playing like Cult of C'Thun members, which just like increased the damage it deals like randomly.
That's what it was.
You just like build it up all game, and then when you drop it at the end, it's just like deal 38 damage to random targets or whatever. And you're just like, cool.
Yeah. So, so like the four old gods that I just mentioned, they're the four darts that hit the single balloon. They managed to hit Azeroth.
Okay.
So that's C'Thun, Yogg-Saron, N'Zoth, Yasharge. You do meet some others like in later expansions, but I think just for like to keep it clean, these are the four that matter most.
The four biggins.
Yep. So when the Pantheon arrived, they sent their armies to Titan Forge, which Titan Forged are the immortal creatures that they created. It's the children of the Titans kind of thing. To shatter the old god citadels and crumble their empire. And like I said a little bit earlier, Yasharge was too strong for the Titan Forge to defeat. So Amon Thul reached down, pulled it out, and like Lenny... like, put it back. Oh, the lifeblood's coming out. Yeah. So yeah, it was hemorrhaging. So they realized old gods, they've dug a little too deep at this point. So we can't really destroy them without destroying Azeroth themselves. So what we'll do is we'll seal them away deep below the surface, say in Ulduar, Silithus, and this is where we end up meeting all the old gods that we do meet in the game.
They have very cool designs. I find the C'Thulhu art generally pretty boring because people don't get too creative with it. But like these seem like I like the Phyrexian in Magic a lot, despite the fact they're not really C'Thulhu because they do kind of have a motivation. Like they know, like we know what they want to do.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, other than the guy who is just straight up C'Thulhu, three of these old gods look very, very cool. The one that just has small mouths instead of eyes is neat. The static globe one with tentacles, like you touch it and you get the little purple lightning on your hand, the plasma ball
with the eye of Sauron eye at the top.
That must be Yogg-Saron just based on the
C'Thun is top left. He's the one with the big eye.
Very cool.
Yogg-Saron is the bottom left, is the one underneath him with all the pointy bits.
This one here I thought was like, it looks like a praying mantis with a smaller face of a praying mantis inside of the face, which is pretty cool.
Every time you fight these guys, in my experience with C'Thun and Yogg-Saron, ton of tentacles. That's just a mechanic. It's like ranged, gotta kill tentacles, and tentacles will pop up everywhere. Mm-hmm. That do various things. Yogg-Saron's a cool fight. You start off and you have to run in, and there's clouds that are moving in circles, and they'll actually change direction if there's more players on one side of them. And the whole thing in phase one, avoid the fucking clouds. And it's like so slow moving. Like everybody should be able to do this. But if you're running with like a group that has any pug members, someone's going to touch a fucking cloud.
What's a pug?
Pick up group. Okay. So not like your guild or the people you normally play.
Yeah, it's LFG guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
So you pick, like, if you're running with a group of randoms, then it usually phase one is the number one thing to kill you, because if you step in a puddle, then a creature comes that has a bunch of tentacles on it, and it comes out and it can mind control people. It can do a bunch of shit that just makes it really hard. But if
really annoying.
Yeah, if you just avoid the puddles, it comes in one at a time and it's very easy to kill.
Jamie's giving grief to these pickup players like he's never stepped in one of these, and I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe it.
I did on my very first night, but not since my first night.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah. That's better.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because like the times that I've actually seen you raid, usually it's like we're in Discord and you're streaming, and probably me and Pete are distracting you more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten pretty good at mechanics and stuff over the years. Like living bomb living bomb was something that I killed my entire raid with twice, but now my fire mage in this expansion got the spell Living Bomb, so I have become what I once feared.
In modern day, you aggro the one-hit bomb kills and you blink over your teammates to kill them on purpose.
Exactly.
It's not by accident.
So Yogg-Saron, phase one, avoid the clouds. The second phase, you're killing tentacles, and 10 portals open up around Yogg-Saron. And everybody's assigned a portal. If you take somebody else's portal, they'll yell at you because it closes as soon as you take it. And you go into Yogg-Saron and basically fight its heart on the inside. Cool. But it's timed. So if you don't get out in time, then you get spat out and you're mind controlled and all your teammates kill you. So
cool. I have a question which you might not know the answer to, but maybe we can Lore Boys candidate. So when you kill the old gods in WoW, are you canonically killing them? Or is it like, oh, you just like have weakened them and like reset their power so that the next raid group is canonically weakening them as well? So like every instance is a unique kill, or is it just like it's a video game, so the time that you kill it, you do actually kill it? But kind of harkening back to that Amonthul, like plucking the leech off, is killing them a viable solution to this, or is it actually like, oh no, you just like subdue them and keep them from breaking out and consuming the world, you know?
I always imagine subdue, just because it plays better with the weekly lockout.
I mean, it would make canon the exactly that, right? The game mechanics, right?
Yeah,
but like that doesn't hold true to all things in WoW, obviously, right? Like there are characters in raids that you do kill, and like in the story, they're dead when you beat that raid, right?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. Probably the answer would be if I knew all the lore up until retail, if we saw them again, we could assume that they were dead based on whether or not we saw them again. But I'm not sure. We'll Lore Boys canon for now that we're subduing them.
Lore Boys canon, you're keeping them down. You're salting them, but they don't die. They just shrivel a little.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Mosquito repellent works better on leeches than salt does, in my experience.
Yeah.
It's an assault on them.
Yeah, one thing that's cool about Ulduar and all the raids, actually, in Wrath of Lich King versus all the previous raids in Burning Crusade and Vanilla, is there's hard modes. So there's different things you can do to initiate hard modes, like there's this one guy who's a big robot, and he throws a tantrum and his heart becomes exposed. If you kill his heart, then he goes into like basically Uber version of himself, and you get better loot, you get better everything, but it's really hard. And
okay,
it's kind of really interesting because almost everyone could clear in normal modes, but now it's who can clear hard modes and how far along. It adds like a second level of progression once you've already beaten it. And so you go through, you collect all the 232 eye level gear, and then you come back for the 252 afterwards and in the hard modes.
There you go.
But Yogg-Saron, so they all go into the heart through the portals, kill him. And then the last phase is whenever he looks at you, you can't look at him because your sanity will go down. And you have 100 sanity. And in normal mode, you can go into these green beams and get your sanity back. But in hard mode, if your sanity's gone, you go crazy, you get mind control, people kill you.
Okay.
So it's like a whole game of basically like what's that game where you look, it was in Squid Game.
Red light, green light?
Exactly. It's that, and you're trying to DPS through that while turning away at the right times. Some classes can do DPS without looking in sneaky ways and stuff like that.
Put our healer down like a rabid dog, basically. Just like
As a mage in normal mode, I treat sanity not as something that I avoid like losing. I treat it as a resource. And I found that I can get through that whole phase if I hit a green beam once and I just eat my sanity. I have 100 sanity, and every time he looks at me, it takes away 20. So I'll just fucking cast the entire time, keep my DPS up, wait till I hit four times, I'm down to 20, hit the green beam, come back, and just...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
that's a repeat.
That's much like real life, Jamie considers sanity to be a resource, basically. A resource to be monitored.
It'll come back eventually, I hope.
You can get really good at sleep paralysis, don't worry, guys.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the whole fight. It's a lot of fun. Yogg-Saron, his whole thing is an attempt to escape his prison. He corrupted the Titanforge Keeper, Loken, who is the last boss in Halls of Lightning, and turned him against his own brethren, resulting in the death of Tyr, and created the Curse of Flesh, which is a disease that can turn Titanforged into mortals.
Yeah, because you were saying they had metal skin originally, right?
Yeah, so the Titanforged, which is like the children of the Titans, normally immortal, become flesh and blood as soon as they get this disease.
Okay, gotcha. The disease of mortality that we are all stricken with.
Exactly. And that's why Yogg-Saron's bad, and that's how Sargeras became big bad. That's a quick introduction to our four old gods. I could go a lot deeper into all of them.
So Sargeras never became like corrupted or anything. He's just like exterminate, because that's the only way to stop the spread.
Yeah, he's just completely convinced that's the only way, and he left the Pantheon and said all life needs to be gone, and that's the only way we can beat the Void Lords. It's kind of like Illidan in a lot of ways.
They didn't think to stop him. He was just like, guys, I'm out of the Pantheon, I'm out of the club, here's my card, I'm gonna go exterminate all life. And they're like, no. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like even the, that feels like very like politician to me, where it's like even the good ones get corrupted and
yeah,
like,
okay,
well,
yeah,
well, like I'm gonna you know, play across the aisle still, like he's yeah, still a god, you know, like I'm not gonna fight against him, whatever.
He's the best one at fighting too, so like, yeah, the other ones are good at building, he's good at fighting.
Here in our real world capitalism, I think we have enough exterminate all life lobbyists that have way more power than the government already, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I didn't know about the Void Lords. I thought that was really cool. That was like a, like, oh, all these like demons and stuff are coming from this outside of the periphery, like larger than anything we've seen before. And I thought it was cool. It added a lot of depth for some of the characters I've seen already. And I hope
manifesting themselves as powerful, dopey cartoon monsters.
Yes. Yeah.
Little with their googly eyes taped onto their cloud of smoke that they are.
Yeah. And yeah, if you guys want, we could dig in deeper to old gods, Sargeras. There's probably more into the Void even. There's a lot of stuff we could still cover in the WoW universe. It's absolutely massive. So let me know if you want to hear that stuff. But that's been it for now.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed the show, consider leaving us a review and telling your friends about us to help us grow. We continue to grow. We are planning a mailbag in the coming months, weeks. So send your emails in to contact@loreboys.com or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll answer your questions live on Twitch stream at some point. Try and keep them short. Otherwise, we may end up cutting or paring down some of your emails just to make sure that we can get through all of them. So if you do have a lot to say, just leave the part that you want us to actually read at the top, and we'll make sure to read that. Peter, what's going on in the Instagram/Squared Idea world these days?
I was very busy and didn't get a whole lot of creative work done because my sister showed up, and then my friends from New York showed up after that, because Montreal in March, when it's damp and swampy, is when tourists show up, apparently. So these people are insane. But yeah, getting back into the swing of things, check out the pictures. Send me memes if you want. I got a lot of people now. The call to action worked. A lot of people send me like DM memes now, which is pretty good, because now I have a more diverse selection of shit posts to choose from, which is fantastic. Very great work, guys. So far, it's all very good. And then, yeah, Squared Idea. I know that my publisher has been editing the promo stuff that we shot this weekend. So keep an eye out for that in the like early to mid April, I believe, is his target to have like some promo stuff out for the old comic, which. Soft target is July for Montreal Comic Con, July 14th, for when we want that to be out.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Discord is popping off. We got our custom Earl still working, because thanks to all our lovely boosters. I need to mention Gren Parptar, who started the whole cascade. And I forgot to mention them on the last one, but we're boosted. So you can go to discord.gg/loreboys, and that'll take you straight to the Discord. And I hung out in there till 5 a.m. playing stupid games with a bunch of the folks. It was mostly patrons, but anyone's welcome. Fun stuff like that can happen all the time. I saw people were giving away Steam keys. I think Hondolo had a bundle that he was giving away. Darnell does that from time to time.
Darnell does that a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be. It's the best place to kind of interact with the community. I think that's where most of our community action is
happening. Yeah, yeah. I forgot. I checked the message requests on Twitter. Don't message us on Twitter. Because I saw one that was just like, hey guys, love the show, from like 2.5 years ago, and I never even read it. I was like, don't use Twitter to mess, don't contact us on Twitter.
So yeah, discord.gg/loreboys if you guys want to join the server. There is also a link in the description of this episode, so just check that if you need to. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you guys can get some exclusive bonus content audio. We play a game called The Loser Titles and a couple other things that we release on there. So check it out if you're interested in supporting the show financially. It really helps a lot. And we super, super, super appreciate it. Other than that, we do have Loreboys Prime, of course, where we've been hard at work. The R&D folks at the Loreboys Inc. have been hard at work at our new breakfast line, which we're calling Loreboys Horage, of course. I am, you know, we each kind of have our own flagship breakfast items, which we're introducing. I have been hard at work to create Oops All Snails, my new breakfast cereal. Gives you the nice crunch of the shell with the slimy slug kind of mouthfeel to go along with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so, like a jawbreaker with the gum on the inside, right?
Yeah exactly.
I've got one that you pour in, and it's... Actually, it looks like little pies, but the pies dissolve, and it's actually demons in your porridge.
Oh, okay.
It's like the eggs with the dino egg ones.
Right? Yeah, that was going to be my pitch too, because as a 31-year-old man, I can buy my own dinosaur Quaker Oats oatmeal.
Yeah,
yep. Peaches and cream are the best ones.
It's oatmeal, but when you add hot water, your sleep paralysis demon comes out and gives you a boner.
Yeah.
I think that would cause you to lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out. Specific section.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.